I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, welcome to In the Pink, sponsored by Bose. Stay home, stay healthy, stay connected.
Okay, so the news, obviously, of leaving the team must have sunk in now. You've had a bit of time to reflect. How are you feeling about it?
It wasn't really such a big news for me. You know, it was very expected. I knew what the situation was like in the team, you know, when the season got delayed already and those races got cancelled. That meant, you know, reduced income for all teams. And for Haas, that was, you know, as a small privately owned team, that was going to hit hard. So, you know, I expected some issues, and I was, you know, wondering whether the team would survive at all. And the team was, you know, Günther and Jean have been working really hard to keep the team alive. So I knew that it was going to be a tricky situation. And, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, they went another direction. And, you know, in a direction that I can totally understand, given the circumstances of the world right now. So, yeah, not what I had hoped for. And, I feel not what the team had hoped for. But at the end of the day, they will surely find some new good drivers that can help the team in the future as well.
So now the dust has settled somewhat. How do you feel about your future? I mean, obviously, your options are limited in Formula One now that Alfa Romeo have confirmed Giovinazzi and Raikkonen for another year. Is there any possibility you can stay in the sport?
There is opportunities. There is still open seats, I would say, but, you know, it's tricky. I don't have the kind of backing that a lot of drivers have out there. So I'm not only competing on, you know, in terms of talent and what I can deliver in the car. It's also, there's a lot of commercial stuff as well that has to come with that. So I think it's tricky. And also there's not many competitive seats out there. And I've now been in Formula One for, you know, in effect 7 years since 2014. And I haven't won a race for 7 years. You know, and I used to, all my career since I was in go-karts, you know, I used to win races every season, at least some races, and, you know, fighting for the championships every year. And, you know, that mentality is what has driven me to this point and what has given me these opportunities in Formula One. And then, you know, I miss that kind of feeling, and I miss that kind of state of mind where you wake up every morning and what you think about is that next win that you're pursuing.
Yeah.
And that hasn't really been there for 7 years. So, because in Formula One, if you're not in the right car, you know your chances are very, very slim of winning. You might have a shot at a podium or something, and, you know, it's not impossible. Gasly showed that this year, that, you know, there is that chance. It's just so minimal that it's hard to really wake up every day and you know, feel that energy of this winning mentality.
So does that mean you'd rather go elsewhere and get that buzz, or would you stay in Formula One even if you knew it was only going to be fighting for, say, sixth or seventh, week in, week out?
It's hard, isn't it? Because there's, if I could stay with Haas or somewhere in the same sort of competitiveness. I mean, this year Haas and last year, to be honest, the Haas have been struggling a lot, but I know what the team can do, and I think, you know, they're capable of being in the, you know, in the top of the midfield. I think they are able, and we showed that in 2018. We were really front runners in the midfield, and got fifth in the Constructors' Championship, and yeah, so that kind of level is interesting, because then you are able to show your talent and your ability, you know, and you can try and look good for the big teams. And then that dream of winning, and that you know, you could still say that there's a chance that you could get into a good team like that. But if you're fighting at the back, then the big teams aren't going to look at you, really, not seriously. It's a very slim chance then. So it's a strange one, and you know, you've got to look at your options, look at what's available and what's possible, and then see if it works for you. It's difficult, but I miss winning. I'd love to be winning in Formula One, but it doesn't look easy.
No, I bet. It's funny actually, because we obviously all love the sport, and there's plenty to enjoy about Formula One, but there's also like some fundamental flaws in the sport. You know, for example, if you're not in the best car, you can be a brilliant driver and not be able to show it. And equally, the pay driver issue. I mean, do you think pay drivers undermine the sport as a whole, or do you think it's the simple economics of it that they're needed?
It's really difficult to define a pay driver also, because, you know, I think all drivers, you know, bring with them some sort of commercial value. There is drivers that, you know, just, you know, pay a check and then, you know, get their seats. There's some drivers that, you know, families have money and they can buy teams and, you know, really go flat out like that. But I think all drivers, even the very good ones, they bring with them some sort of commercial value, whether it be partners that the drivers have that then follow them into the teams and support the teams if the driver is the right one. And, you know, so there's that for all drivers, I think, and it's hard to define a paid driver. But yeah, I think it's tough when the driver is, you know, responsible for such a big part of the commercial package. And in football, it works easier because the players are owned by the clubs, and they, you know, the clubs buy them off each other, and they go on loans to other clubs, and so you know that there will be, you know, you have a value as a player. If you're in a club, then that club will have to sell you to another club because you know, they need you are value and asset for them. So that's not how it works in Formula One, unfortunately, but. That's, you know, it will never change. That's how it is. But motorsport is difficult in that way.
I mean, when I have to say, I was sort of quite surprised with Haas that both of you were released by the team, because there's a sense that if they get two young drivers in who bring a load of cash, that's all well and good. And I remember talking to Gunther Steiner about the fact that he had to top up to the weight that the cap, you know, rather than get down to it, you know, and that's a rare position to be in. You obviously, Mercedes have got to come down to meet it. He's got to go up. But surely you need some experience in there. Surely you need somebody like you who's got a load of experience under their belt that can help and guide and give decent feedback. I mean, I look at Williams with when they went for two pay drivers and it didn't work. They kind of went backwards. Was it Sorokin and Latifi? No, am I getting it right? This is what happens to your brain when you've been in isolation for too long.
I know.
I don't even know what day of the week it is. But my point is, surely you need a blend of both experience and an injection of cash.
Ideally, yes. I think you're right. But then I think, you know, depending on who they announce, I think there is some some young drivers out there that really, you know, are good drivers. I think Schumacher's got to be on the list. I don't know these things. They don't, you know, neither Gunther or Jean tell me any of this. But I'm assuming that Schumacher is on the list. Mm. And, you know, I've met him and talked to him, and he seems like a very bright young lad. And obviously he's a big talent. He's leading the F2 championships and driving brilliantly. So I think, you know, he certainly is going to be, you know, good, whatever he, you know, brings as a of you know, deals with him. But I'm sure just in the driving and his ability, I think he's going to be great for the team. And then whoever sits in the other car, you know, yeah, I don't know. I think they will need someone that brings some sort of package with him, and I don't know who that's going to be, but it would surely be better if you have some experience. But I'm just saying, I think there's some young drivers, Schumacher included, that could, you know, make up for that and get on top of it quickly.
Yeah. Okay. I think it was Sorokin and Stroll I was thinking of in Williams.
Yeah. Yeah.
They partnered them together. Okay. Good. what's your relationship with Gunther like? Because you seem very sort of phlegmatic about all of this. You seem very respectful and not bitter or angry in any way. You haven't sort of publicly slated them. You've been quite understanding of their situation. Is that a reflection of your relationship with him or with the team generally? Because you've kind of, you have been with them for some time now.
Yeah, I think they've just, you know, Gunther and Jean have, you know, they've both always treated me very well and been very frank with me and, you know, honest. And it's just been a very, you know, transparent and an easygoing relationship from the beginning. You know, I was with Renault in 2016, and I started speaking. Well, I spoke to Gunther and Jean the first time in 2015, I think. Yeah, 15. And that was, we spoke about me joining them for 2016 for the first year. That didn't happen. I went with Renault. Then I had that season with Renault and we started talking again. And I had an option to stay with Renault for another year, but then Gunther approached me and offered me a 2-year deal. So I, you know, and Gunther and Jean were very keen, and I just felt a big commitment for them. So I felt that would be a better environment to be in, where, you know, Renault was a little bit uncertain. There was a lot of drivers on their list and they weren't as kind of focused as I felt Gunther and Jean was. So I went with them, and it was such an easy deal to do. You know, it was just like they wanted me, I wanted them, and, you know, off we went. And there was no BS. You know, it was very, very easy. And I just, you know, that's been those 4 years of all, you know, it's just been very easy, and there's not been any, there's no real politics. It's a real racing team. You know, it's a bit like dealing with, you know, a good old Formula 3 team or something, you know, in terms of that, you know, how direct the management works, and there's not a whole big corporation behind with a whole board of people trying to make decisions. It's pretty easy in that regard. So, and yeah, you know, now we're in this situation, and as you said, I am pretty, you know, frank and kind of, yeah, understanding of the situation. I think I understand what you know, what they need and what kind of situation they're in, and, you know, what can I do? You know, I understand, so there's no reason to be bitter.
Thanks so much for listening to In the Pink. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast you've listened to so far. Please don't forget to rate, review and subscribe. Check out our Instagram page at in_the_pink. And you get all the details there about how you can win some of those Bose noise cancelling headphones. And join the community. We're all talking about the various guests that we've had on the podcast and who we'd like to see and hear in the next few weeks. So thank you for joining us. Stay with us. Stay healthy. Stay home. Stay connected with Bose.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.